Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mama's of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Thursday to you, everybody. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
What you think about that, DA?
I think it's fantastic. And I have given Pete the Body Bilotti a coronary by going to fill up my water and getting back into the studio a little bit later than he would have liked. What can I say? At least I'm not bogus doing Wimbledon scores, getting them really, really upset and uptight.
Got that right.
Coming up this hour here on the show, Ken Rosenthal, one of the best baseball writers out there, is no longer allowed to be writing at his home website. Is that a mistake? Also, we've got your best audio of the day, including Kevin Sumlin, speaking about that hot seat that he's sitting on at SEC Media Days, and Nick Saban discussing the teams closing the gap in his mind on the Crimson Tide. However, interestingly, leaving out one very specific school. Next hour, we'll do Italian Bowl with Mike Vannucci of the Florence Griffins. Yes. Yesterday, we gave you the background on the Italian Football League that we had no idea existed until Calvin Johnson spoke out against the Lions while he was being an ambassador out there for this Italian football game, like American football game. So being the intrepid producer that Mraz is, he went to the Rolodex, he dug deep, he learned some pidgin Italian to get by, called overseas, talked to front offices, and essentially became the Adam Schefter of the Italian League, and tracked down one of their star players, Mike Vannucci of the Florence Griffins. Now, luckily, he was able to find somebody that was an American that knew English. So Mike Vannucci, Florence Griffins, is going to join us. Plays both ways as well. Wide receiver and corner. Mraz, a real throwback that you dug up here.
Hey, gotta like it. A real ham and egger. These are big rosters. If you could play both ways in the Italian Football League, you can come on the DA show.
No doubt. That's going to come your way in about an hour and 15 minutes from now. As always, we've got the phone number out there. We've been talking about how the NBA is surging in popularity. The Summer League is now relevant. The NBA made two very interesting and, I think, smart strategic maneuvers yesterday, announcing that the trade deadline would now be immediately following the Super Bowl when they've got the sports calendar themselves, and they're going to eliminate timeouts down the stretch. They're going to limit them, which is going to help the flow out so that coaches can't just keep calling timeouts. We keep going to commercial breaks because of the TV networks as well. So smart stuff there. We were talking about, if you want to weigh in on that, at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Alex Rodriguez is a really interesting guy because I think he's smart and dumb. And that's a hard balance to strike. A-Rod is both smart and dumb. Dumb and smart. There's a little Mraz in there. Sometimes Mraz says things that are actually fairly educated. He will use some vocabulary that's pretty high level correctly. He will sometimes know things that even I don't know. And I'll be like, wow. And then some days he'll think that Columbus was a pilgrim, that the pyramids were in Brazil, and he'll obviously be a moron.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
And I think that A-Rod strikes the same balance. Now, here's the difference. Here's what I love about Mraz. Mraz doesn't try to fake being smart or polished. He is what he is. That's all that he is, as Popeye once said. I is what I is. That's all that I is. And that's why we love Mraz, is because he's transparent and not putting on any airs. That's the difference. A-Rod's always trying to come off as polished and professional and elegant and diplomatic, but sometimes he's a dummy. Sometimes he's a real dummy. But when Alex Rodriguez speaks about baseball, he's actually very smart. I think life stuff, A-Rod's kind of dopey. Baseball stuff, I think A-Rod's very smart. That's what's made him a really good broadcaster. So Alex Rodriguez has made a four-point plan to save baseball. And this is really interesting on the heels of us talking about how the NBA is surging. I mean, you look at the Summer League. The Summer League, of all things, is now an important event in the sports calendar. I mean, 10 years ago, nobody cared about the NBA Summer League. Hell, 5 years ago, nobody cared about it. Now, people are picking apart Jason Tatum's drive to the basket. They're looking at Lonzo Ball's box scores. They're worried about Markelle Fultz's ankle. They're looking at duels like Ball versus De'Aaron Fox. They're looking at guys that are making big strides to try to make the rosters as veterans. I mean, it's amazing that it's actually become something that we discuss and talk about. And it has just blown right by baseball. And I love baseball. And I will always love baseball. I will always love you. I will always love baseball because it was one of my first passions. You know, I'm like 5 years old and I'm collecting all the stickers of the Major League Baseball Panini sticker book. I love it. My first sport that I played was T-ball. Wasn't anything else. I played T-ball and I played Little League Baseball and I loved it. Even though I could never catch up to the fastball, I barely caught up to the T. But basketball has surged so quickly by. And here's what Alex Rodriguez's plan is. He wants hot cameras. Hot mics, everybody. Hot mics. He wants live cameras from 5 until 6 at the home and visitors' batting cages during BP. He wants live cameras at BP so that you can always watch everybody's BP. Great idea, by the way. If you want to watch Aaron Judge, there's nowhere to watch that right now. Wouldn't you want to watch Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton's BP? Weight rooms and bullpens. He wants live mics. He wants live cameras in the weight rooms and the bullpens so that you can go to MLB.com or one of the team websites and watch all of this behind-the-scenes stuff as they prepare for the game. Dude, good idea. Really good idea to stream that stuff so that kids are locked in to watching BPs and things like that. Bullpen sessions, no doubt. Number two, he wants MLB and Google to have a partnership. When players come to the plate, MLB Google search would display, I guess, on the Jumbotron or on TV or on the web, their favorite songs, their hometown, their social media handles, and relevant, interesting social media posts. In other words, allowing tech-savvy young fans to understand the personalities behind the players. Great idea. You know, that's the biggest problem haunting baseball. Mike Trout is outrageous. Manny Machado is outrageous. Aaron Judge is outrageous. Bryce Harper is outrageous. Watching these guys is incredible. But we don't know a lot about them. Like, who knows anything about Mike Trout unless you're an Angels fan? Which is crazy because the guy could be the second incarnation of Mickey Mantle. Who knows what he likes? Who knows what his favorite dish is? Who knows what his social media handle is? Who knows? This is a great idea. Get them engaged to what these guys' personalities are. Number three, A-Rod wants $10 Tuesdays. He wants on the first Tuesday of every month, kind of like a museum would do. First Tuesday of every month is free admission, something like that. He wants a $10 ticket on the first Tuesday of every month. So, sounds great in theory, but it's not that big a deal because basically every game, if you want to sit in the upper deck at a baseball stadium, you can get a $10 ticket. I mean, there are very few. Wrigley, you can't. Fenway, you can't. There's empty seats in almost every baseball game up in the upper deck. So that's, I don't think pricing has ever been an issue for baseball. Is it expensive to go and sit near the dugout? Yeah, really expensive. Like, I took my dad to the Father's Day game last summer, and, you know, I'm spending $150 a ticket, and I'm not even on any railing or behind the dugout, but, you know, good seats. But so that's $300 right there. You know, you want to take a family of four, it's virtually impossible. So, but I can sit in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium, Citi Field, Phillies Ballpark, Baltimore, most places here on the East Coast, and then I'll be going out to Kansas City next week. I'll go to a Royals game. The new Cardinals ballpark is gorgeous. You know, in Miami, they can't give away tickets. Ballpark at Arlington. You go down the list, Minnesota. These are beautiful ballparks that you can get in for $20, $10. I mean, you can find a way to get in. So I don't think pricing's an issue. And then A-Rod says the fourth part is microphones. And he wants players, managers, and bench coaches always mic'd up. He says, imagine being able to listen to me and Derek Jeter discuss the final three outs before the final inning of the 09 World Series. Good idea. I think it's a little unrealistic because you'd have to basically be prepared to bleep out a lot of stuff. You could do it. You know, the All-Star game, they tinkered with this. Guys mic'd up during the game live. Then you just have to tell them, like, you can't curse. But there's strategy that goes in there. And, look, it'd be cool. Maybe it's post-production stuff where you pull it out and then you air it as, like, the new Twib Notes or the new This Week in Baseball, where you have all this mic'd up content from the league, from the game, that you know you have producers that clean it up if there's anything strategic or vulgar. But look, overall, like I said, I think A-Rod's a smart baseball guy, and these changes make sense. Now, I think you could also put a pitch clock in there. A pitch clock would definitely help speed things along, and I think actually tweaking the game itself, as I keep saying, I think relievers need to pitch to a minimum of two batters. I would love to see them pitch to a minimum of three batters, but that might be unrealistic. I think you need to slow down the parade of specialists, because it just means there's less action when the games matter more. Seventh, eighth, ninth innings. Those are high drama, high leverage situations. To have a never-ending parade of power pitchers come out of the bullpen to basically keep striking everybody out means there's no balls put in play. There's no rallies in the eighth or ninth inning. There's not a lot of offense. And that's a problem for a young audience that wants action. That's a problem for me that wants action. But what A-Rod's talking about is not even changing the rules of the game. This is just stuff around it, and I like it all. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. One of the best baseball writers in the game, Ken Rosenthal, has no home to write at because of a questionable business decision by his employer. We'll discuss coming up next if they're making a huge mistake. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
I saw the premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival a couple of weeks ago, and I...
A couple weeks ago? Yeah, that was like March 2.
I do make the film, but only for a brief second. I'm in it for like 15 seconds or so, which I'm just happy I was in. As we talked about...
I could see you pausing the DVR right now to take that picture and put it on Instagram. It's coming, isn't it?
No question. There's no question.
Can I pre-like it? I mean, could we...
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zap Zap.
Yeah, check it out by going to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow, or check out the PGP on the iTunes as well. But indeed, tonight, ESPN, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the Mike and the Mad Dog 30 for 30, highlighting one of the most iconic duos in sports talk history, maybe the most iconic, and I've got a small role in that. But as I was talking about the other day, a lot of the footage that you will see of them in studio during the 90s will be my footage from my high school class. It won't involve me. But it was footage that I took, or one of my colleagues took, one of my friends took, when we were doing a high school class project at WFAN in 1997. And if you watch tonight's 30 for 30, you will see the directors highlight the animosity between Mike and the Mad Dog by a video clip where they say they're promoting something called Metro Sports North. That is my high school television show that ran on my cable access channel, and I got graded on in my senior project. We had them read our liner, and they read it and look into the camera and don't look at one another, and there's an awkward pause, awkward silence, and then they just drop the mic and walk off of the set without looking at one another or discussing it with one another. And so you'll see that clip tonight because I saw the preview of it. I saw the debut, actually, at the Tribeca Film Festival. And it's amazing because I'm like, oh, my God, my cheesy high school television show makes the 30 for 30, them promoting it. I wish it was still on. The longest running sports television show going 20 years later, Mike and the Mad Dog promoting it. When they say Metro Sports North, you will say, oh, that's DA's high school show. So I put together a kind of behind the scenes with some never before seen high school footage that you can check out if you go to my YouTube page, behind the scenes of the 30 for 30. I've also put it on our Facebook page. Mraz, you have a chance to watch that yet?
It is on my elliptical list for after the show today when I am at the gym.
Okay.
I'm doing a full prep work into the 30 for 30 today.
I know you've seen me and my old footage with Francesa. That became big news after he slammed me for using my initials and we got into that public tiff.
Right. Never make a Hulk Hogan sports minute again.
Have you seen the footage of Steve Summers, a.k.a. the Schmooze, who also is a longtime legend of WFAN, sticking his fingers in my eyes and my ear?
Steve having a great time, as usual.
Okay. What you haven't seen, that's also part of this video that I put in there, what you haven't seen is some old clips of me doing stand-ups for my play-by-play of high school sports.
Oh, I got to get. I'll sink my teeth into that. Are you wearing shirts five times too big for you?
All of them. All of them oversized. All of them terribly fitting.
This is great. So you've come a long way from the oversized shirts to the flat-brim Ghost Bowlers hat of today.
Yeah. Yeah. Fashion victim from the womb. And you can also see all my iterations of my haircuts. There's also some footage. Have you seen me with John Calipari?
I've never seen the U and Calipari.
When he was head coach of the New Jersey Nets, we went down there to interview, and I got him in a one-on-one, and I got Eric Montrose in a one-on-one, and I've got video of me at 5'8" interviewing 7-foot Eric Montrose and then sitting down with Calipari. That's in the video as well.
So what you're saying is in high school you were able to book John Calipari, and your 30-year-old producer on a national radio network could never book John Calipari.
That's exactly right. Yeah. My connections in high school were better than yours. Now
we get Barrett Salee back tomorrow.
So I've tweeted that out and then also put it on Facebook if you want to check out the behind-the-scenes video. Go to Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Like the show page.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
It's embedded right there as well, so you don't have to click through anything. It's embedded there on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheDA Show. So sports media changing every single day, and FoxSports.com has decided no more writers. We don't want written pieces. We don't want bloggers. We don't want columnists. We just want video. And look, digital video is exploding more than almost any other content. That I think it was 3 years ago, something like 3 years ago or 5 years ago, the average American watched approximately 3 minutes of digital video a day. 3 minutes. So that includes video that runs on a website like CBSSports.com. It includes something like WatchDA.com, which is our own simulcast in TV form, but only on the web. It involves YouTube. Anything that you are watching video of on your phone that's not on your television screen. OK, Okay, that's digital content. And in other words, it's not cable. So if you watched HBO Go, that is digital. That has changed from 3 minutes or 5 minutes, 3 or 5 years ago, something like that, to more than an hour every day today for the average American. You're watching more than an hour of digital content. So 3 years ago, 5 years ago, we're not doing watchda.com. Today we are, because people are watching content on their phone all day, or they've got Netflix, or they're zapping it to their television screen from their laptop or their phone. And that's why our simulcast is really successful and something that CBS wants to do. It's something that I totally want to do as well. Fox Sports is going, nobody's reading anything anymore on the internet. They just want to watch. Okay. So they have no writers. They've stripped FoxSports.com down. And in some ways it makes sense because, as I said, people are watching video. It doesn't make sense, though, when you have a guy like Ken Rosenthal. Ken Rosenthal, obviously, is a reporter. He's the guy with the bow tie on Fox, who's a reporter for their playoff games and World Series games and during the regular season as well. And I would say Tom Verducci, to me, is the greatest, best baseball writer that we have, and Rosenthal is a close second. And then I think Jeff Passan's right behind them, and he's kind of a younger guy moving up. But basically, Ken Rosenthal is one of the most complete, respected, fluid writers we have in baseball. He tweets yesterday, hey, I'm no longer going to be writing at FoxSports.com because they got rid of all writers. It's only video, so I can't write anymore. Now, this is a guy who's going to be a Hall of Fame writer one day in Cooperstown. He's going to get the Ford Frick Award one day. The guy is amazing. Doesn't have a place to write because Fox didn't have a place to write. So he says, I'll just be writing on my Facebook wall until I find a new home. Now, Ken Rosenthal will find a home. I mean, don't get me wrong. He'll be a guy that writes for whatever company it is and get paid well to do it because he's that connected. But this seems insane to me. This seems totally insane to me. You already have Ken Rosenthal under contract. Now, maybe you have him under a broadcast contract and a writing contract, and now you've cut him out of the writing contract. But Ken Rosenthal breaks stories, has incredible sources, and he's on your airwaves. Him writing promotes your games. Him writing promotes your coverage. Him writing promotes the next game coming up that he's going to be covering, or the World Series that you have, or the All-Star game that you have. It's insane to say, no, we don't need one of the greatest baseball writers anymore for our website. And this seems to me to be a ridiculous all-or-nothing proposition. What you do if you're running FoxSports.com is, yes, you can go heavy video because that's where the world is going, but you also make room for a guy of that caliber. So maybe he has a vertical type thing where, instead of Adrian Wojnarowski doing all basketball for Yahoo Sports, you let Ken Rosenthal have an all-baseball type page at FoxSports.com. Again, if Fox didn't have baseball coverage, I could understand this more. But all he's doing is building attention and breaking news for your games that he's also working on as a sideline reporter. This, to me, is such a dopey decision, because if you are going to promote your product, do you want Colin Cowherd in a recycled video talking about Mike Trout maybe being LeBron James one day, or Aaron Judge being Russell Westbrook in some really kind of very generic fashion? Or do you want Ken Rosenthal breaking news? You know, would you rather have the undisputed guys, Shannon Sharp, discussing Giancarlo Stanton, or would you rather have Ken Rosenthal breaking news to promote your product? It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer, and it's a shame that they decided to do this, because this, to me, is such a strategic misfire. Give Ken Rosenthal a place to write what he does in a smart, professional, insightful manner to help promote your games. When we return, your best audio of the day, including another late 90s running back believing he should be in the Hall of Fame. Call it the Fred Taylor disease. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
way sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
Como esta, DA? I can see it up in the air. The mothership's above east the coast of Florida. Beam me up, my man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hey, what do we know about the ongoing feud now between us and the Nanoset Night crew for biting our rhymes, for stealing our bit of a hot dog eating competition that we talked about yesterday on the air?
Well, Paul Nanos actually texted me yesterday and said, I can take a joke. I appreciate your pub. We didn't steal your bit. And when I further extended the invite when we do the wienership, if he'd like to be involved, he goes, well, I don't know how many hot dogs I'd really be able to eat. I said, okay, so you want to come at me about eating and stealing bits, but then when we give you an invite, you don't want to necessarily reciprocate. So he said he'd have to think about it. I don't know, very fishy. And then he had a big problem with Andrew Bogish yesterday because Bogish got the name of his show wrong. So Nanos is just, you know what, take a step back, pal.
Interesting. So you feel like he's fronting a little bit too much on us.
Yes, for a I don't care what the judge ruled yesterday, he's a bit stealer. And for a bit stealer, you would think he would be a little more like into joining us or being part of a contest or leaving Bogus alone, and he's neither. So I really don't get his tactic here.
Do you think he's sniping at us, at you, at Bogus because deep down he realizes he stole the bit?
I think he knows he stole the bit, and I think he thought by being on weekend overnights when he did the bit that it would get buried and we wouldn't notice.
Right.
And to be fair, we would not have noticed if not for our great listeners tweeting at us incessantly when I woke up Sunday, can you believe Nano stole your bit, which made us dig it up. It wasn't like he texted any of us, said, hey, just let you know we're going to do a hot dog eating thing. He tried to hide the bit.
That was his ultimate misfire right there. That was his biggest mistake, trying to hide the bit.
He hit it. And I didn't see it on Twitter the next day or anything. It was only listeners who listened tweeting at us.
And now he's doing the Miraz where he's throwing everybody under the bus in self-defense.
Oh, is that right? He's already taken that stance?
Yes. Well, James came up with the idea, all that.
Interesting. So even as the host, he is distancing himself from the whole bit.
That's what it appears like to me. And I would say that is my job. When I mess up something, I'm going to throw Bilotti. I'm going to throw you. It's everybody else's fault but mine.
Of course, yeah. And that's a signature. That's a signature Miraz move.
So now he's really stealing two bits. He's stealing the hot dog bit and the blame everybody else but yourself bit.
Yeah. So, wow, this is taking a turn for the worse. Do you think we now have a burgeoning rivalry and feud with Nanos at Night?
I think so. I think we have our first in-house rivalry, if you will. Because we're usually good friends with every other show. I think this is becoming a Yankees-Red Sox deal.
But what would be like an internal rivalry, kind of like Favre-Rogers?
Oh, yes, yes. The back, but I don't think Get Away From Me, Buddy has anything to do with Paul Nanos.
Who would be on the same team that are actually feuding? I guess maybe like Rondo and Kevin Garnett or something like that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, who, back in the day, we don't know. Now maybe Durant Westbrook.
Yeah, yeah, there's something there. There's some type of internal feud now festering at CBS Sports Radio. Also,
Hold on. You can't call it a rivalry if both teams don't win. You know, when the hammer's always beating the heck out of the nail, that's not a rivalry.
That's right. Yeah. So we are the hammer in this instance.
Yes.
Now, do we also have a budding rivalry with the Amy After Hours crew because we made fun of her? Now, I didn't make fun of her.
Watch your wording.
Because we brought up that she named her vehicle and I thought that was crazy town?
No, from what I understood from the people who work behind the scenes, the producers who do a great job with After Hours, they did not bring this up to Amy and are avoiding bringing it up to Amy because they don't want a rivalry to exist.
I see. Yeah, we don't either. We love those guys over there. Yeah.
And, you know, we just furthered the question. And now we know that me and you and I, are the oddballs that don't name our car.
Yeah, we're the odd man out. We are the odd men out because Amy named her Subaru Forester that is white Princess Leia.
2015.
And most of our listeners, well, she just got it.
Right, it was a pre-owned lease.
Gotcha. So most of our listeners said, yeah, no, that's totally kosher. That's totally fine. Name your car. I like to name my car. What we found out, though, is as we discussed on the PGP, was that she also named her lawnmower.
Huh. Yes. That was something else I found out, that this is an ongoing bit where she names inanimate objects every year. And the year last year on the show, she asked listeners to name her lawnmower. I never got the name. I don't know if it was Hedge Clippy or whatever they would name it.
Right.
But, yeah, she named a lawnmower. I think next year she's got a new beach chair we're going to name in July. Yeah.
You know, I could get on board. I'm totally pro naming boats. I guess now you guys are changing the equation. I guess I have to be pro naming cars. I mean, even Bilotti has named his car Mickey. But once we start naming lawnmowers, I think it has to be a ride-on. Because if it's a
push... It takes gas, though, like a boat and a car.
But then what? You're going to name your chainsaw, too? I mean, all motorized accessories?
I guess.
Your hair... I don't know, curler? No, I guess that plugs into the wall.
Yeah, I mean, you're not filling that with gas and pulling a string.
So you have to fill it with gas and or pull a string. There has to be some type of engine involved to where you name it.
Right. But, I mean, a watch has an engine, right? Because you wind it. Would you name your watch?
No.
Hey, Mickey, what time is it?
I think fine. You know, we had Steve Overmeyer here in studio from CBS 2. He's from the Indiana Sticks. And he said, yeah, growing up in Indiana, we named our cars. His car was named Esmeralda, whatever that means. And he said, yeah, we named the car. So I've got to be okay with that, because if Steve-O is going to do it, then I've got to be okay with it. I love Steve-O. But I don't think he named his lawnmower. What is that?
If one thing is clear here, it's that you and I don't understand the naming of things.
And
we think we're normal, and it turns out maybe we aren't. I believed you called it psychopathic activity. Maybe we're the ones with the psychopathic activity.
I called it psychopathic behavior, yes. I think it's mentally deranged to be naming your inanimate objects. But specifically, lawnmowers? Is this where we're at? Like weed whacker? Are we naming the weed whacker?
The horseshoe set in the backyard?
All right, time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Kevin Sumlin on the hottest of hot seats in College Station at SEC Media Days, talking about the pressures this season to not be 8-5.
How I approach my job, whether it's anything that's written or anything that's said, ain't gonna change. There's nobody that puts any more pressure on me than Kevin Sumlin, and we all want the same thing. And I came here to do a job and to win a championship, and we haven't done that yet. Now, that being said, you know, we've won more games than anybody in the last 20 years.
So Kevin Sumlin's program has elevated the A&M expectations to great heights, but he is a victim of his own success. The Johnny Manziel year, where they go 11-2 and Manziel wins the Heisman, and they have this incredible run beating Alabama, and it's just a magical year, and Manziel bursts across the scene, helped create the culture now, almost single-handedly created the culture now, along with being in the SEC, where tons of money flowed in to build a new stadium, to renovate the stadium, tons of money flowed in for the facilities. Recruiting became a hot thing in Texas. You got to play in the SEC. You got to go there to play where Johnny Manziel played, and Texas was down. Now they've kind of tapered off, and now he's 8-5 every year, and that job is incredibly enticing. We were just talking last hour to Barrett Salee about the Chip Kelly rumors, that if they fire Sumlin, Chip Kelly would be interested in that job to come in there. State of Texas that you're recruiting, great facilities, you're in the SEC, they're going to pay you a lot of money. So Kevin Sumlin can be low-key and everything, but he's got to know, man, you've got to win and win some big games this year. Not start off 5-0 like you usually do and then collapse down the stretch. You know, this has got to be a great season, not a good season, a great season for him to keep that job, because that job, unlike Tennessee, where Tennessee's facility is very good, great tradition, I don't think it is seen as the sleeping giant, if you will, that A&M is, and I don't think they would pay as much because the boosters now at A&M are going crazy to win and win big. I think A&M could attract the bigger coach And so that's why I think there's going to be more intensity to watch every win, every loss, and have no patience whatsoever and pull the string early if it's not going well for someone. We just were talking about yesterday Fred Taylor saying he should get consideration for the Hall of Fame, which he should be respected maybe more than he is, but he should not be in the Hall of Fame. Now, Corey Dillon on the Bengals Beat podcast also talking about getting the Hall of Fame.
Hey, I may be way off base with this. I mean, and this is just me. And no knock on nobody else. And I'm just bringing up this guy football-wise, nothing else. Nothing whatsoever. But you have O.J. Simpson in the Hall of Fame. My number is better than him. Why can't I be there? Is my question. Mm-hmm. What validates him being there, and I don't. I don't get the call. Now, right. I ain't talking about his transgressions. All that's on him. I'm not condoning nothing like that.
Oh.
I'm just talking about strictly football. My numbers is better than his.
Yeah,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, so a couple of things here. Number one, I'm not condoning O.J. Simpson off the field. Oh, that's good. We're not going to condone double murder? Okay, good. I'm glad we just stated that here for the record, Corey Dillon. Number two, Corey Dillon might have more rushing yards. I think that's what he's alluding to. Better numbers when he says more rushing yards than O.J. Simpson. Corey Dillon retired with 11,000 rushing yards, which is a very good number. But Corey Dillon wasn't ever a generational talent at a running back like O.J. Simpson was. O.J. Simpson was the first ever to run for 2,000 yards. You know when he did that? In a 14-game season, Corey. So think about it. What would O.J. Simpson have done in a 16-game season? He ran for 2,000 yards in a 14-game season, and that was his entire career, a 14-game schedule, basically, except for the very tail end when they switched it in 78. But he already had a decade under his belt. All of his good years were already done in a 14-game schedule. Of course, modern players have no idea what happened before they played. You want to know why his numbers are better? You played in way more games than he did. Think about it. Over the course of an 8-year career, you played a full season more than he did. Just over 8 years, you played 16 more games than he did. Over 7 years, you played one of his full seasons. So maybe that's why his numbers might not be at yours. He was a better running back in his prime for a longer time. Corey Dillon was a good running back. He was good for 1,100 or 1,200 yards a season. When he got to New England for 1 year, he was a 1,600-yard back. But nobody ever feared Corey Dillon in his prime the way that we feared O.J. Simpson. Simpson, while now known as being a crazy lunatic that killed his wife, was at the time the most devastating running back, arguably, since Jim Brown. When he retired, people said, that's the second greatest running back ever. When Corey Dillon retired, nobody said that guy is the best of anything. I mean, again, in a 14-game schedule, O.J. Simpson ran for 2,000 yards, 1,800 yards, 1,500 yards, and led the league in rushing 4 out of 5 years. Corey Dillon never led the league in rushing except for that 1 year, I believe. He never did. So that's why, Corey, sorry, do some homework. Oh, well, I got better numbers. No, in a vacuum, maybe. In context, no. And finally, Nick Saban at SEC Media Days, conveniently leaving off an in-state rival of the teams closing the gap on Bama.
Well, I have a tremendous amount of respect for a lot of teams in our league. I mean, LSU is very, very good. You know, Ole Miss has beaten us a couple times in the last few years. Mississippi State's got a good quarterback coming back. Arkansas's got a good quarterback coming back. A&M is always a very challenging team.
Didn't hear Auburn in that mix, and I think that that's probably purposeful. And that is your sound check. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Another piece of context for Corey Dillon. O.J. Simpson was the first team running back on the all-decade team of the 1970s. First team all decade, all 1970s. He was the number one running back And then Walter Payton was the second running back, but got half the votes of being on the first team. And then it was Earl Campbell and Franco Harris in the second team. Okay? So O.J. was the all-decade team of the 1970s. All right? 1980s, Walter Payton, Eric Dickerson. Again, two generational guys. The 1990s, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith. Again, two generational players, Hall of Famers. 2000s, Edgerrin James and LaDainian Tomlinson. Guess who's not on any of those lists? Corey Dillon. So, give me a break, man. Respect what happened before you got into the league and stop being so myopic. When we come back, is Carmelo headed to Houston? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.